This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Hey, Ali.
What up, D?
Hey, man, have you ever had problems going to sleep?
Nah, but sometimes I have problems staying asleep.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I used to have the same problem, but then I found out about Sweet Dreams.
Sweet Dreams.
Yes, sir. Sweet Dreams is the highest quality Colorado CBD blended with the power of melatonin.
Damn, that's dope.
Now I'm knocked out at night and I got crazy energy in the morning.
Yeah, where can I get that, D?
You need to go to www.naturalrxsource.com. That's www.naturalrxsource.com. Put in the code SLEEP10 for 10% off your first order.
Bet. I'm going to go there right now.
Well, go to sleep and stay asleep. Sweet dreams.
It's time for the End of Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Where's the rest of it?
We saying this is In the Conversation.
It's usually like, yeah,
what's good,
what's
all
going
that,
on,
man?
Right,
I'm trying
then.
To
this
be
is
chill.
This is Damian Lemon. We in the conversation.
To, hey,
the
man.
Podcast.
Hey, there you go. How about that?
Damian Lemon.
One time.
I'm Ali Muhammad.
Okay, two time.
You are the audience.
In the Conversation.
The conversationalist.
Has begun.
And we are here.
Wow.
Yeah. Something like that.
Okay. Yeah, well, yeah. Shit. Go ahead, brother. How you doing?
That's me. I'm
Talk
doing great,
to me, man. How you doing?
Great, man. I'm fresh, man. I'm out here.
Fresh out of Atlanta.
Fresh out of the A. You know
how was that?
The A was great, man. I love the A. They got, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, you know, I've been talking about this little project I've been working on. And I'm actually was out there working on it and shit.
Mm.
And they living in the future, dog.
Explain.
I mean, it's very hard to explain.
It's hard to explain the future to a past motherfucker.
No, it's hard to explain why it's the future.
All right.
But because like a simple pathway that goes around 30 miles, you it's hard to explain how that changes it. It's like a big ass sidewalk for 30 miles. And
right.
how that changes everything is the way that they can develop largely unused land that was unused at a time, and now they could put all these different things. And
so, what was it before? Like just lots?
So it was an old railway.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like the High Line or like Hudson Yards, where it was an abandoned railway,
right?
And then they developed on it and made it, you know. But instead of just putting buildings on top of where the railway was, they kept the railway and just made it a pedestrian walkway or bikeway or scooter way or run, jog, walk your dog way. But then along where the abandoned warehouses was at and all that kind of stuff, you started to put businesses and apartment buildings and, you know, living spaces.
Like in the middle of the belt. Is it like a circle?
It's like a little 285. So it's a circle around the inner part of the city. So, you know, Inman Park, 4th Ward, you know, up through Buckhead, come around, cross the west side, Bankhead, you know what I'm saying? Then come down West End, and then, you know, eventually it'll loop all the way around till you can go all the way back to Old 4th Ward. So.
I gotta see that.
Yes, yeah, it's crazy. Like, you're gonna be like, what the fuck? This is not. Because you can't see it from the street. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it was a railway, it runs behind shit and under where roadways are. So you could be on the regular streets and not even know it's there.
It's like a speakeasy community.
Yeah.
So
for miles. For what they say, like 4,000 acres.
Now, how do you find yourself? This is my question. I want to know. So you say this is all bike, foot traffic, no cars, right?
No cars, right.
So how do you get there? If you're somebody that has a car, like, where do you put your car and then?
There's certain entrances, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But you park, you could park on the street, you could park at a business, you go to a Pont City Market or some shit like that, you could park in the parking lot, and then you just walk on. But if you live in the area, then you don't even have to
talk to your car. You just step out.
Yeah, you just walk, step out. That's cool. But they got like, it's really to it's like The Sims. If you ever played The Sims?
No.
It's like The Sims, dog. It's in real life. They have made The Sims and the shit looks just like the rendering. And people are just out there congregating together in ways. It's like, you know how college is?
Mm-hmm.
We live on a campus.
We have like a little quad type of thing.
You got a quad. You got an intramural field. Right. You got, you know what I'm saying? You got all these little things. You got right. the calf. It's like white people made college for grown-ups.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like you got a big field that's intramural field. You got a skate park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got the food halls and all that type of stuff, which is the wave all over America, food halls and
right.
shit.
Yeah.
So you got those all, you know, darted out there. And you got just different places where you have the different restaurants and shit. But, you know, everybody's just moving about and doing their thing. And it's like, you know, these Sims just moving around in the future.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's communities in ways that communities haven't been. Like, say now, you say you got Williamsburg, right?
Right.
And but it's still within this city that has a standard infrastructure.
Right.
So you have these things, but, you know what I'm saying, ain't really know where to put an intramural field. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And shit like that. So, you know, it's a little different. Like this, they got all the space, so they just doing all this shit in one place. You got amphitheater here, skate park there. Feel with
and it flows good. It don't feel crowded. It feels nah. it's done well. Right. And it's all the way done. The whole thing, all 30 miles.
Not all of it, but okay. it's 70% done. The east side is done. That's where the future is. So when you out there,
mm-hmm.
so say if you were in one neighborhood, and this neighborhood is right next door. It's not that far. It's maybe right. you know what I'm saying, not far. But you get in your car. To go get in your car, to go over there, you probably won't do it because you're going to get stuck in traffic yeah. getting over here. And then, so you probably won't do it. But when you out there, you're just walking along. You're talking to people. Somebody playing some music here. You know what I'm saying? Some people playing flag football there. Mm-hmm. This, that, and the third. Next thing you know, you've walked it, and it's there. You're there quicker because you have no interruption to get there.
All right, hold on. Now, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
He says taking 30 miles mm-hmm. of area
mm-hmm.
that you could just walk to, that you don't have to drive to, that kind of.
It will be 30 miles in the end.
Okay.
So let's say on the east side, you might be working with 5 miles.
All right.
Five, 10-mile stretch.
So you feel like it's kind of created the environment to where you'll walk 5 miles without even thinking about it.
Exactly. I mean, shit, or the one to two, say it's 2 miles to get from Krog Market to mm-hmm. to Pont City Market.
Mm-hmm. Are there like little things to tell you? Got 2 miles
no,
to go.
You just
so you just
got to
keep going.
you
figure it out.
You have to figure it out because okay. they ain't got all the signs
okay.
for you yet. But it's maybe 1.5 miles.
Right.
We probably did that shit 3-4 times just bullshitting out there.
Right.
Just shooting and then, oh yeah, I'm on this end. All right, I'm going to walk down there.
Because
it ain't nothing right. when you down there because mm-hmm. you know you amongst people.
Right.
It's not like you gotta walk up on the street, on the sidewalk, cars driving by, you at the light, stopped at the light, niggas pulling up like, what the fuck is this motherfucker doing?
It's
walking.
Just a promenade, basically.
D, you ain't got no car?
Right.
You know
it's none
saying?
Of that
none
type of
that.
Scrutiny.
It's none of that. Everybody out there is pedestrians.
Yeah, interesting.
So it was like looking at the future and how to rethink areas that you may know.
Mm-hmm.
In ways, how can you use these areas and spaces? Because this space was Old Fort Ford.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Boulevard. You know what I'm saying? Mm. You know what I mean? Auburn Ave, all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's where they were shooting the old Jeezy videos, Trap or Die videos on Boulevard and shit. Mm. That area.
Okay.
So it's reimagining what can happen in a space. And a lot of times you don't have that pedestrian part to it that can connect all of these different areas.
Right.
And I think that's the part that's crucial. And that's the part that makes it like, oh shit, this changing the game.
That's interesting. Yeah, because I guess you bring in a walking society to a place that was pretty much driving.
A non-walking city.
So my question is,
uh-huh.
how do you stunt on these niggas? Is it back to sneakers?
It's back to your mouth game, like you know what I'm saying? Your talk
okay.
game, and you know what I'm saying?
You're out there hollering.
You got to have flavor. And you got to have money to go to all these restaurants and bars all the time. You can't, you know what I'm saying?
So it's still competitive.
It's competitive. Man, yo, they got the, this one dude bought this big warehouse, right? And it's big as fuck. And he put that's probably the biggest beer garden I've ever seen. Mm. And they got the bottom floor, it got the middle floor, and then they got rooftop.
Right.
And that overlooks the little Fourth Ward Park.
Okay.
And then the trail. And that's kind of like the center of the social environment.
So let me ask you a question.
And then next door to it is like a fly spot, where if you want to do it the fly way, you could do that too.
Separate entrance, or is it
that's
like
a totally different restaurant.
Okay. But it's under the
it's
same
thing. It's all in the same warehouse building look like.
That's hard. What's the name of that?
That is called New Realm Brewery.
New Rim?
Realm.
New Realm. Okay. And it's big as hell.
It's big as hell.
Really?
Yeah. It's like the granddaddy of beer gardens.
Was it popping?
It's the only shit sitting there like they're right there on
it. But I mean, was it too big or was it enough?
No, it was cracking.
The people came.
And they say it ain't never empty. So, because it's like when you own it, it's nothing like. All the other stuff, you kind of got to dip off and go here.
Right.
Or if you go into Pond City Market, you got to dip off and then go in the building and right there. But that's like the thing that's right there on there. You go there, you can still sit out on the Beltline and watch people walk by while you out, you doing whatever you doing. You
that's
know
the
what I mean?
Dance floor.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But you know what I'm saying? So I was looking at the future, but the opportunity really is the west side.
All right.
Where that's still the black side, and as far as the trail is there, but you know what I'm saying, it's not developed yet to what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
2 Chainz owns a building right on the Beltline.
Oh, that's smart.
He hasn't done nothing with it yet, but he owns it, so he invested.
It's a big ass building. It's a nice size.
It's not big. It's like
what could it be? What could he put there?
He could put anything he want there. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because whatever it is, it could. You know, once people start going down there on the west side, he can control the conversation.
Let me ask you this. You've been city planning, you know what I mean, casually for a while now. You know what I mean?
Right,
jumping, looking at it, scoping out the
as a hobby.
As a hobby. But you've been scoping it out. Maybe you might be transitioning into
right,
it.
Right.
Picking it up. If you were to city plan for 2 Chainz, you see he got something on the west side, what should he put right there? If you could say, yo, Titty. This what you need to do. This what the people need.
Well, Titty should tear. It used to be a Chinese restaurant.
Mm.
He should tear that bitch down.
Okay.
Build an apartment complex as big as he could build it. However many units.
Okay.
But the bottom like bottom two, three floors is total entertainment space.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? One nice little restaurant where you can have a little back porch sitting right there overlooking the line.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what I'm saying, other little things. I would put, you know what I'm saying, like since he's an artist and shit like that, you could put like, you know how like you got those studios that you could see the people in the background, kind of like Good Morning America and all that type shit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? A space like a
living.
Like a TRL space
Good Morning America.
Red Bull space.
Right.
Put that on top of the restaurant type shit.
That'd
and where you can see the people walk by, but then you got action jumping off down the bottom, and then you got people who live up top.
You killing. That's kind of ill.
He'd be killing.
All right, well, shit. That was free.
Yeah, that was free. That's free game.
There you go.
Free game, whatever the day is you listen to this.
It is. Oh, man.
But no, so that was dope. And
so that's the
future.
That
was refreshing. There's that type of rethinking cities and rethinking how people are living and coming together, because what it is people were, you know, expressways were meant to take people out, you know what I'm saying, and get them back to their jobs, but really to help build the suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think now with everybody moving back towards cities, you need something that brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people move in new neighborhoods, they don't, you know, they check in, they go to their local grocery store, maybe if they have bars or popping like that, they'll do that too. But a lot of times, there are no built-in ways for people just to get to know each other right away outside of bars and restaurants and shit. So spaces like this, creates a vibe where the community is out there together every day, whether you're walking your dog, riding your bike, exercising, just chilling on your own, doing yoga, going to the restaurant, you are communing with people on a daily basis, easy. And that makes a difference in how communities are built. And I think the future of communities depends on people coming together, not isolating themselves apart.
I hear that. That's what's up. That's the future.
Yes.
It's for the court. You heard it here first.
For
free.
The conversation. For
you know
free,
what I mean?
Course.
For free. They go
for free.
Future.
Game is free,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, shit.
You know what I'm saying? Go do it. Go do what you got to do with it.
Speaking of the future and just neighborhoods just emerging out of the mist, the Hudson Yards area, have you been over there yet?
I was supposed to be over there Friday.
Man, it's a whole thing. Like, right. It's funny because you seen it happening, you know, but that's to your point about the Beltline. This was kind of like an abandoned, you know, no man's land type of thing. Nobody was over there, you know. Very, you know, not too far or all the way that. And then you seen people building. And then initially I was like, I'm curious if they could really pull people this far west, you know. Sure enough, they got all types of things. They got something called Little Mexico over there. They got this thing called The Shed, I heard is interesting. Then there's that...
Damani, my man Damani played at The Shed the other day.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I heard that's a fly spot. I haven't been there. I heard something else about that spot, too. And then there's the little weird, I think it's called The Vortex or something.
Oh, the little sculpture.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called, but that looks interesting. And now when I'm driving by there, you seeing waves of people. Like, it's like Rockefeller Center now. It's a whole new tourist area in New York City, which is kind of interesting because you figure we done had all the tourist areas, and now there's a whole nother one. It's kind of cool.
There's a mall in there.
There's a mall
all
in
New York
there.
Like,
been
why
in
we
there.
Need a mall?
There's a couple malls on the low in New York. There's a mall downtown, like in Battery Park.
Yeah.
That people don't really
it's
know
all,
about.
All that west side, they building malls and shit.
Yeah.
Because it's space, and they need something to fill it.
Yeah.
Coming out of the World Trade Center through that little shit that looked like a skeleton, you walk into the mall, basically. I forget what they call that shit. What they call it? What do they call
somebody
that?
Somebody let us know.
That looks like you inside of a white carcass.
Down by the
World Trade Center.
By the World Trade Center.
You know that thing, the art.
Oculus?
Yeah,
oh,
the Oculus. That is it. The Oculus. See?
Okay.
Y'all act like I don't know what I'm talking about.
No, you didn't know exactly what
know
you
the name,
were.
But he knew what I was talking about. It's the Oculus.
There you go. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? That takes you to a mall.
I thought the thing, what's the thing uptown? I thought that was the Oculus. What's the thing uptown that looks, it's the little sculpture that goes all the way to the top. The most
uptown
striking thing, not uptown, but uptown 34th Street. On 34th Street, over by Hudson Yards, we were just talking about it. There's the shed, but then there's that one sculpture.
Oh, the vessel.
The vessel, that's what it's called. Yeah, we got my man on... whatever, Landmarks.
Yes.
Shout out to my man
Christopher
on Landmarks.
On Landmarks.
We got Landmark guides out here. Matt, come on. You're supposed to be faster.
I was trying, but he's quicker.
There you
no
go.
Doubt, no doubt. Yeah, but, you know, all of these things, like, this development is moving fast, and they're building fast, and the way people are living is changing fast. So it's kind of like, you know, what is it going to look like? What does it look like for you? Because the trip shit be, when you go to all these shits and you look at, you know, what's coming up, what they building, they have the renderings and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Black people ain't never in the renderings.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
You mean just the figurines are never?
The little avatars that be in the renderings.
No brown Legos?
No brown leg, none.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? When you see the movies in the future,
well,
no brown people.
Yeah.
Shit, I was reading National Geographic talking about the ancient civilizations. I ain't seen no black people in that either.
Really?
So, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like on us to envision how we going to participate and how we going to look within the future.
Look at old Janelle Monáe. She been doing it. She been championing blacks in the future.
Exactly. Yeah, you got
for Dolo, it feels like. Nobody want to join
because
in the
nobody
future.
Understand that when you start going to the future, they not considering your shit.
Yeah. So well, you gotta just still be there. They ain't consider your shit in the past.
Again,
in the present.
Yeah,
either.
And it's like we gonna show up and we gonna make it to what we do. We gonna make it do what it do.
We're not gonna be on the list, but we gonna get in the club.
But the thing is, at some point, you know what I'm saying, we can envision our own how we look in the future.
What else you see?
I can't give all the game away.
All right. That's for the Patreon listeners. That's for the Patreon, I guess.
Yeah, that's for the patrons. Mm. But the opportunity is there to envision how we gonna rock in the future.
Okay.
Because we look at a lot about what we got and holding on to what we got and trying to keep what we got popping. You know what I'm saying? But then how does that look 20 years from now? How does that look? How does that fit into what's about to be happening?
It's tough to plan for the future when the present is so dire. You know what I mean? Like, I was looking on, I seen Jadakiss had put something on Instagram where he was like, you know, I was taught how to survive. I'm trying to teach my kids how to live. You know what I mean? Like, when it's dire, it's of the moment. It's like, we got to get this fire out now. You know what I mean? Like, rather than training the community to be like, yo, just plan for the future because you don't want to get to the future and be fucked up.
Right.
Like, and, you know.
And it's a lot. It's, you know what I mean? It's different kinds of planning. But I think that the most simplest, like the basic level is, how do you even see yourself in the future?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times it's hard to do that because you don't know what they got planned. You know what I'm saying? You don't know how that shit is popping off. And when it pop up, you're like, damn, what's that?
Yeah.
You know?
Or sometimes you might even just look at your future based on your present, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if your present is precarious, you're like, I don't know. I ain't even got a whole lot to leverage for this future. You know what I mean? It's interesting. I heard somebody talking about that. Like, they were like, I look at life, I'm trying to think of what I'm going to be doing at 50.
Right.
What's my lifestyle going to be at 50?
Yeah, how you going to be living life?
That's a good thing to think, just to train your mind to think that way. I got to get to that. It's hard enough for me to think about next week.
Right.
You know? What you going to be doing when you 50? You got some ideas? What about when you 60?
I'm going to be 50 in a couple years.
Yeah. So have you been thinking about it? Have you been thinking about your 50?
Yeah, I mean, shit, I got kids that keep you in the future. So I know, goddamn, right. When I'm 50, I'm going to have a second child in college.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Have one on the way.
Right.
You know? So I'm going to be in the grizzled.
Right.
Hopefully I have made some strides and made some, you know, significant changes in my lifestyle.
Okay. What you thinking?
Nah, just, you know, trying to do more exercising.
Okay.
I want to be a cut up old man.
Svelte.
Not swole, but you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Tapered.
Right. Looking like Dahlism from Street Fighter. Remember Dahlism?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all that. You know what I'm saying?
I can dig it.
So, you know, you got to be thinking, okay, I need to get active. You know what I'm saying? Stay active. You know what I mean? Think I'm about to buy me a bike.
Like a pedal bike?
Yeah,
pedal bike. Okay, right.
You know, down there, they got me excited about these bikes because, you know, you ran into a couple of cats who do the fixed gear bikes and shit.
Right.
And I always wanted one. I just never pulled the trigger.
Right.
And they kind of like, you know what I'm saying, they got a little crew that be rolling and shit.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah.
That bike life is popping out there.
It's popping, yeah. You know,
I got my neighbor. He's an older dude. He bikes about 20 miles a day.
I used to do 30 miles a day.
Really?
Yeah.
When was this?
Right before I moved to New York, because there's a trail in Miami that went from my dad lived in Cutler Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
That went from Cutler Ridge to Coconut Grove. It's 15 miles.
Oh, okay.
So I would do, and it's easy because there's a trail just like the Beltline. Uh-huh.
Right.
It's 15 miles straight, no obstructions, no red lights.
No hills, no, it's
Miami
straight
flat,
shot?
Miami flat. Okay. So it's like you might have to stop at one light. It's like a little light going into a subdivision. But other than that, it's kind of a straight
that heat,
shot.
Though.
But the, you, I'm from
I guess
Miami.
You're used to it, yeah, then. How huh? You don't get hot like heat. That, huh?
So I would do that. And then you do it right before sunset. So I'd do it probably like 5 o'clock.
Right.
hit it,
yeah.
Then zip back. So back and forth, that's 30 miles.
Right.
It's nothing, though, when you're on the trail. It's different when you're on the street.
Yeah, because there's a lot more to deal with.
To contend with.
Right.
And you stop and go. And right. You're like, oh, man, that shit is a
30
trip.
Miles on a bike is almost unfathomable. I haven't done it. That's why it's unfathomable. Right. But that's crazy. The cat does like 20 miles a day. He does the little, you know, the trail up on the West Side Highway. There's like a nice little trail that goes all the way down and all the way up.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool.
So
it's cool.
My homeboy John Shooter, who shoot with me, John Walder.
Yeah.
He just built his own bike and that inspired me.
Mm.
I'm gonna buy me a frame and get me some rims.
You gonna build your whole situation?
Build me a situation.
Yeah, go ahead and do it.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what's up.
So I keep y'all posted on that. That's part of my future.
Are you building bikes?
Nah, just getting on that bitch.
Getting svelte.
And getting svelte and trim. Mm.
Yeah, that's interesting. I gotta think about my future.
Yeah, man.
You know what it is? You don't think about the future always, to me, always felt like so old. Even when it was young, like when you're young, you feel like, man, 25. Like when you're young, you know what I mean? 35, what, 30? When I'm 30, I wanna be a millionaire. Right, you know what I mean? When I'm 40, I wanna be retired. You know, all of this aspirational shit.
Right.
And when you get there, you realize, yo, you still got shit to do, and you still got a lot of life in your body. Yeah, so even if you have gotten to some of these goals, you still got to distract yourself.
And you got a lot of life to live.
Hell yeah.
You don't want to outlive your money.
No, you don't want to outlive your money, and you don't want to outlive your imagination. You know what I mean? Like, you got to have your...
That's the key.
Yeah.
That's the key, because people give up on their imagination after they get that good job.
Yeah.
And it started turning the routine. Yeah. Da-da-da-da-da. You know, do what you got to do for the kids and go to bed.
Yeah.
I ain't never giving up on my imagination. That's why you jump into projects that challenge you, mm-hmm. that put you in situations that you ain't seen. You looking at what's happening. They doing shit. They doing shit with or without you.
Yeah, that's true.
You got to jump in the game.
Mm.
But what else happening with you, man?
What's going on with me, man? I'm chilling, dude. It's too much. What did I do today? What the fuck? What is going on right now? What did I want to talk to you about? I've been chilling. I ain't had no shows this weekend, so I got to catch up on Barry.
Okay.
Barry the Shy. Mm-hmm. I know you don't watch either one of those.
You saying it like I won't watch them.
No, I'm just saying, I know currently.
I haven't watched.
No, I know, but yet. I'm just saying currently we can't really have no real cross talk.
I can watch the Shy. I will watch
you should,
the Shy.
You
I just
should.
Have not at
Shy's
this present
pretty good.
Moment.
Shy's gotten really good this season.
And what do you like about the Shy?
One thing that I like about the Shy, I think, is, a talent, is Lena Waithe has created so many characters in this show. And made you kind of feel invested in all of these characters. Typically, when there's a bunch of characters, it could kind of get a little muddy. You know what I mean? Sometimes the storylines are a little shallow. You know what I mean? They just really there just to be there. But this is enough people to where you kind of behind a few different storylines. You're like, oh, okay, I hope this cat gets his shit together. Like, there's, I don't know all of the character names. Mm-hmm. You know, I haven't gotten to that point, but... You know, there's certain storylines that got... It's about... What I like this really cool is there's all of these storylines, but it's all the same neighborhood. So it's how everybody's interconnected.
Right.
You know what I mean? You see that type of thing. Then you also see, like, on this last episode, you see stuff that I have never seen before, but you... Or maybe you never seen it before on television, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, one of the characters, his name is Emmett. He's a young kid, probably like 21. He got 3 kids. 3 baby mothers, you know what I mean? Got a bullshit job. He was just living with his moms. His moms moved and was like, you gotta go. You know what I mean? So now you gotta figure it out. So he was trying to figure it out.
Was he the one who worked at the restaurant?
He was working at the barbecue pit. He still worked there.
Okay.
Trying to figure it out, goes to stay with his father.
Mm-hmm.
Daryl, I think. That's what he calls pops, because his pops wasn't in his life. So
he
right,
just called him by his first name.
Yeah,
very disrespectful.
Super
disrespectful. In the black community.
Right, right. But you know, he feel like that matches the disrespect of not being there.
Right.
You know what I mean? I got to forever make you feel like a stranger.
Right.
Because you were. You know what I mean? So it's one of those situations where he goes and lives with his father because he has no place to stay. And his father is the older version of him, but he's blended it. You ever heard of, Mashonda Swiss Beats' ex-wife? Mm-hmm. You know, she came out with a book called Blended.
I know Mashonda as Mashonda on her own.
Well, there you go. I know Mashonda's Mashonda on her own as well. Damn, now I feel horrible.
Go ahead.
Anyway, make sure y'all don't get this dab down. Hold on. Let me get my hey. I'm out here sweaty. Anyway, my man is sitting, Daryl, the father, mm-hmm. sitting at the table, Emmett. He got all his kids. He said, we have dinner every day, 7 p.m. But not only does he have his kids, he's got about 4 baby mothers. 3 of them are at the table. Mm-hmm. Some of them have gone on to other relationships, so their dude is at the table. But this shit is just, it's unity. It's working. It's smooth. You know what I mean? And they all aware of what it was.
Who paid for the dinner?
The pops. I mean, it wasn't at the restaurant.
I know, but
it was at the house.
Who feed all these people? He feed all these people.
I guess so. Right. Yeah. Okay. I guess when they at the house, he does that.
Oh, Daryl.
Right. Daryl paying for it. Yeah. I believe so. I didn't get that. Yeah. You know, no, they didn't go that deep into
saying, who buying all the groceries?
I believe he does. Maybe it's a potluck. All I know is it has a benevolent vibe, right? And so no much doubt. So that they know what it is. Emmett is like, so wait a minute. First he was with you. Then he left you and then went here. Then it didn't work out here and he went here. And they were like, yeah, you know. And y'all get along, you know, unless somebody take the last piece of chicken. You know what I mean? That type of shit. And it was kind of cool just to see that. And then they go out on the, you know, Emmett get tight because his mom ain't at the table. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And he's mad like, yo, what the fuck? You know, you could do all of this. You know what I mean?
But you couldn't be with me.
So it's a moment where they had a real talk. Mm-hmm. So much so, he funny. He pull a beer out, take 2 beers out. Emma's like, I don't even drink beer. He's like, hold a beer, nigga. Just the father. This is what we do. Just how I look.
Just hold it.
Just for the optics.
Just, you know what I'm saying? Just feel me right quick.
So he was like, you know, he said, it's true. He said, you know, I wasn't really there for you. He said, I felt like if I was giving money, it was enough. But I wasn't there. I had no presence. And he said, you know, I had to grow up and become a man. He said, you know, it took me to be self-aware of the fact that I wasn't shit. I had 3 kids. I was on some bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I had to man up. But he was like, your mom's got the boy and these other 3 women got the man. You know what I mean? And I, you know, mm-hmm. it's about realizing when you want to man up. You know what I mean? Right. I hope you do better than I do. You know what I'm saying? This is your opportunity to make the switch. Mm-hmm. It was kind of cool, man. And, you know, and that's just one storyline. You right. know what I mean? There's quite
so
a
that's
few.
That's this season.
That's this
What's
season.
What's this season 2?
This is season 2, maybe right. second episode in, so it's not
okay.
too far.
Okay, I could catch up.
Yeah.
Because I've already seen maybe 3 or 4 episodes yeah. of the first series.
I had my homie ask me, he was like, is this one of them things where you could just jump in and you won't be lost? I don't think so. It's a storyline that extends from season 1. Mm-hmm. You could read some recaps, because it ain't much to get caught up storyline.
I don't like reading. So you'll, okay. I watch through
Go
it.
Go ahead
I ain't
do
no
it.
Trip. I'm,
Go
I'm,
ahead and do
I,
it.
You know
All right,
what I'm
fair enough. That shit was good. Then Barry was good. Barry is frustrating me, though, because Barry's not being full Barry. You know, Barry's a killer.
Right. And he wants to be an actor.
He wants to be an actor, and obviously it's not working out. The two lives are kind of coming together.
So his acting ain't popping? I thought he was going good.
Nah, I mean, he's in the acting class. He's still fledgling.
Oh, he's still in class.
Yeah, he's still like, you know, the whole thing is.
I've watched about 3 episodes, too, of that.
The whole thing is he's in the acting class. He met this woman he likes. He's into it. He's also into the fact that, you know, it's a different life. You know what I mean? Right. It's a new way to define himself. It don't have to be he's a killer, which is, you know, it's nothing he's proud of. It's morbid. It ain't the worst. You know, it's not the most,
That's
you know.
He do. He good at it.
Yeah, he's great at it, but he don't want to be a killer. You know what I'm saying? So he's in there trying to change his life, but he still got, debts to pay. You know what I'm saying? He still got to kill certain people. So these people will pop up at the weirdest times. It could get a little goofy.
Right.
Sometimes the whatevers are a little goofy. The goons or the enemies, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? That kind of takes away from it. But then after a while, you kind of get caught up. You know, it's still a comedy. So you're like, all right, there's some funny little goofy motherfuckers.
Right.
But this particular situation, he need to kill somebody soon. He got mm-hmm. it because it's starting to fall apart. You know what I mean? It's starting to come too close to home, so he needs to make something happen.
Right.
Yeah, man. But I also know the Thrones is back.
Them Thrones.
So tell me how you feeling.
Man, I'm happy the Thrones is back. Okay. You know what I'm saying? It's reinvigorating. Uh-huh. You know, it's deep dive TV. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then, you know, it's basically a cultural thing at this point because a lot of people is on it. And, you know, the world, you know, a lot of people talking about it and shit.
Right.
So it's good to have it back. I had stayed away, you know what I'm saying, because April 14th, 2019 sounded like a long fucking time.
To be waiting for.
In September
2017. Got a plan for the future.
You know what I'm saying? It was like, man. Mm. So I stayed away from it. I didn't read nothing. I just chilled until about a week before. Then I caught up on my theories and, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, where the last season left off. And, you know, it's first episode. You know, Thrones usually start off pretty mm-hmm. slow, but they packed a lot of information in this one.
Okay.
It did, like, as speaking to what you just said, it kind of got a little goofy in certain parts.
Yes, I heard that. I just wanted to ask you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was a little weird. The kid was putting a lot in. It was kind of like, this ain't really Thrones-ish, but you know what I'm saying? It wasn't that bad, but right. It was a couple of times. It was like, ah. I think it was more so the score than the actual acting.
Okay.
I think whoever did the music part
made it too whimsical.
It was just too goofy. Like, it was a certain part, like when John was getting on the dragon and shit, it was like, what kind of music is this playing? Because you're used to that hard, that deep.
So, what's
hard
some goofy music? Was it too many flutes?
I don't remember what it was. I just noticed that it was just too fucking goofy for the Thrones.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It was too lightweight for the Thrones as far as music.
Uh-huh.
Like, usually it's either deep, dark, and brooding
right.
or nothing. Right. It was just, you know what I'm saying, conversation.
Yeah.
But they had some music playing that was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And I only noticed it was music because I used to be a music supervisor.
Right.
And it was like, I don't think I would have put that cue there. I don't even think that cue fits this whole fucking show. Mm. So I hope they don't do that the rest of the season.
But
they set it up. They set everything up. You back into it. You ready to go.
Okay.
No action, but you know what I'm saying? A lot of setups.
Yeah, my homeboy, shout out to Mike Lawrence. He's all into all of this type of shit. Comic books, mm-hmm. wizards, all of that, right? And he was like, he felt like Game of Thrones this season. And he brought up one thing. He's like, Game of Thrones this season feels like they kind of taking a nod from like the Marvel universe, being real self-aware, making these type of weird jokes, like almost breaking the fourth wall type shit.
Almost.
And he said, I didn't know if this was true or not. He said, this is probably because they don't have R.R. George Martin in the writer's room to be like, let's be serious about this shit. I didn't know he's not.
I thought he was involved. I didn't know he. I don't think he's in the writer's room, but I thought he was involved as far as how the story arc was going to go.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That's what he said. Yeah, but though. They, you know what I'm saying, they definitely self-aware. It's certain lines in there that you know going to be memes. You know what I'm saying? It's like meme writing.
They going for the meme.
It's like, you know what I'm saying? It's like a couple of parts in there where they wrote for the meme.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Where they had Cersei say, you know what I'm saying? If you want it easy, you need to go buy you a whore. But if you want a queen, you got to earn it. Mm. And shit. It was very, very Shonda Rhimes how they put it out there. How Shonda be writing on
Scandal and
what's the other one? How to Get Away with Murder. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Or even on Grey's Anatomy, they'll write a white lady part that's kind of very black lady Twitter.
Real sassy.
It was like, come on, man. You know, but you don't expect that in the Thrones.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, come on.
Right, so you know,
it done got through.
But you
Black
know,
Twitter, Game of Thrones.
If you cut those little pieces out, the rest of it was what it was supposed to be.
All right.
And you know, yeah.
Okay.
I can't wait for the impending action.
Did you see your man Magic Johnson quit his job in the press conference without telling us? But he kind of Irish goodbye. The Lakers, which is kind of a Celtics move, if you ask me. But that is, that's interesting. That's pretty interesting that he was like, you know what? I had a whole conversation with her last night. I couldn't quit face to face. So I'm telling her here on TV, I quit. Sorry.
Hey, it's genius in the way that you got it. First, it's going to be a media storm.
Of course.
It's going to be all of these questions. It's going to be all this thing. You should have told your boss, but whatever. Magic don't care about no job. He already, what is he at the Dodgers? He's
an owner or something.
It's like one of the owners at the Dodgers. They winning World Series and shit. Mm-hmm. He rich as fuck. He don't care. He beat the AIDS.
Beat it.
I mean, what you gonna do? What you gonna do to Magic? He had that. He had the HIV.
Yeah, I guess
that's life and death.
All this is just overtime.
This is right here. It's like what?
When I heard he was giving a breast card, I thought he was going to say he had AIDS again. Just the reminders.
Like, what Genie Bus gonna do to him that AIDS ain't done to him already?
True indeed.
Nothing.
But then with all of that, if you done beat AIDS and you that big and bad, then why can't you speak to Jetty face to face and say, "Yo, Jetty, this job is busting my ass."
Because Magic might be petty. You know what I'm saying? He might be petty.
He was like,
listen, I'm going to get this on out the way in one swoof. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got time to go back and forth with y'all. Mm. You know what I'm saying? This is what it is. I'm going to get the media what they want, so they not going to even be on me no more. Mm. You know what I'm saying? He probably, you know what I'm saying? He probably hinted to it. He probably just ain't never do it. It probably was a strained relationship that was going sour anyway. Mm. And he just did it and went home.
It was looking bad out there.
You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I didn't take nothing of it. You know what I mean?
I ain't give a fuck. I mean, you know, it is what it is.
They fire cats and send cats home on their day off all the time. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I just saw a piece, Derrick Rose, on Ambrosia for Heads. They had a post where the day Derrick Rose found out he got traded from the Bulls, he was doing an interview about his training on the offseason.
I think there was a video about that.
It's a whole fucking thing. It's like they shooting a video, and then his agent calling him. He like, all right, let me step away. He couldn't get the agent back on the phone, so he come back, and then the agent called. So he step away again. And, you know, the cameraman followed him, which, you know what I'm saying, I thought was kind of weird, but, you know.
Cameraman knew by that ring.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is
a meme.
So the cameraman followed him, and my man told him, like, because he was like, you know, they were talking about a trade. He was like, you know, after I heard the rumors, but, you know, I try to focus on what we got to do, and we got to rebuild as a team and da-da-da-da-da. Then his agent called, like, yeah, you got traded and shit. He like, word? It happened? And he just sobs. You know what I'm saying? He, like, busts his tears, just poof. Damn. You know what I'm saying?
Because that was – he was going to Milwaukee.
Going to New York. He was going to New York.
Oh, damn.
But, you know what I'm saying? Not that New York is bad, like, but it was Knicks. just like, you know, you built your home.
In Chicago.
You know, it just shows the other side of the game when people talk about, like, cats like LeBron and or people who ask for trades and shit like that who decide on their own shit.
Right.
The other side, when you trying to really work at your job and you showing up.
Trying your best.
Motherfucker, the boss don't even call you.
No.
Your agent call you.
Right.
They don't, you know what I'm saying? The owner ain't call him or the coach or nobody and say, you know what, man, this is what it's going to be. Nah, his agent had to call him.
Yeah.
His agent like, I wanted to call you first. Like, why the owner ain't call me first, or the coach, or the somebody associated with the organization?
But it's fucked up. It is. It's unfortunate.
You know what I'm saying? He just cried.
Dang.
And then his agent was like, "Yeah, man, you got to pull it together, man.
You on camera? Because
this not you on camera. Because his agent wasn't there. He was like, you going to New York? This is a big deal. You know what I'm saying? Like this is the mecca. Like
you gotta go hard.
The cameras are gonna be on you. This is a story. Like man." He was like, gather yourself, man.
Right.
And then this nigga had to take the whole thing, weep, cry, all that shit, in 7 minutes and be back on camera talking about some other shit.
Yeah.
And his whole life has changed.
Yeah.
And y'all talking about why Magic ain't tell Genie Bus he was quitting. You don't give a fuck.
I think it's the millions when you don't give a fuck.
I mean, it's just
the millions that make you get your shit together in 7 minutes,
too. It's the game.
It is the game.
He didn't get it together. He had to. He had to pull it together.
Right.
But I don't think he ever recovered from that shit.
He might not.
It's been a long road for D-Rose.
He had a lot of injuries, too. That was,
I mean, not even just the injuries. It's just like he just getting into it. I don't think he was into it to this season as a player. You know what I'm saying? His mind in the game. Let me just go hard at that. He had all kind of off-court situations outside of the injuries.
Right.
But it's just like, you know, nobody don't think about how that shit affect a motherfucker who got their kids in school and, you know, they living in their house and one day it's just like, you're gone.
Gotta go.
You gotta go.
Nah, I think people, I don't know about everybody. It, you know, that's part of the game. Like you said, that's part of the game, right? And it's a fucked up part of the game. Unfortunately, it's a very inconvenient part of the game, but there's that part of the game that the compensation is so crazy.
Yeah, but see, everybody break it down to the compensation. They take away a motherfucker who has poured himself into a certain job. Like, you went to a job every day, you poured yourself into it. You don't expect to go in that bitch and be like, ha ha, woo.
Well, I would if they traded other motherfuckers at the job. If that's how the job is, yeah, but next to you, the cubicle next to you got rocked.
Right.
You know it could happen.
So then, why is it such a beef when LeBron just say, you know what, I'm out this bitch. I'm going to another city.
Well, you know
city.
Why it's a beef.
Why is it a beef?
Because it's a black dude that's taking agency over his career. And I think that's where we need more of that, where it's cats that's calling the shots. Unfortunately, it ain't too many people that can call the shots like that because you're going to need a certain amount of leverage.
Right.
You're going to need, you know what I mean? So but when you got the hot hand, you got to go for it.
So when you talk about it's business, that's the business, it's only business when it's coming from the organization. When it come from the talent, then it's, oh, he's selfish. He don't care about the team. No, he just in it for the money, blah, blah, blah.
I'm with
woo,
it.
Woo, woo.
I'm with it. I'm with
you
it.
You know what I'm saying? That's the bullshit. So if it's going to be business, then it's not even a conversation why Magic Johnson told the press and not Jeannie Buss. You know what I'm saying? The owner of the Bulls ain't called Derrick Rose.
I guess you could say, you could justify one with the other. I think in both things, it would have been the courteous thing to say, hey, listen, bro, shit ain't working out. I know we've had three conversations in your whole tenure here. You know what I mean? I know you've been in my house once in at least the foyer area.
You made me a lot of money.
You made me a whole lot of money.
We're going to move on.
I got to send you to New York. I want to let you know that. You know what I mean? No hard feelings. You know, keep the jersey. You know what I'm saying? You still getting paid. Whatever, like, whatever. It's same shit with Magic. Look. Shit is looking crazy right now. Lakers are looking bad. They ain't made the playoffs. I'm Magic Johnson. I'm known for winning with the Lakers. I don't really want to be associated with this losing situation.
I mean, it's been losing for a minute.
Winning. Right. But when you Magic Johnson.
They ain't made the playoffs. When the last time he made the playoffs?
How long Magic been with him now? What's his involvement? How long? Let us know, man. How long has Magic been with the Lakers? In his tenure of
and they ain't been winning since he been there.
True.
He came, they was probably losing.
True, but this is the look.
Not
at this.
That I'm a Laker. I don't know. I know y'all gonna crucify me.
Well, look,
Laker fans, but I don't know. But it don't seem like they was winning.
First of all, if we leave the crucifixions, let that die. Cause first of all, I don't know none of this type of shit. I'm talking all the way out of my ass. I don't follow a lot of it, but I'll say this. This was the big season. They brought LeBron over. Mm-hmm. This was the press conference season. This was, yo, we got the GOAT. We got the motherfucking most dominant player in the NBA to come over to the Lakers. We got the young ball son still over there. We trying to build some shit. Mm-hmm. We trying to get the Lakers sexy again. I remember you coming through when you went to the Lakers shit. Yeah. It was like, yo, that shit felt
it
sexy.
It felt the energy.
And then when they stopped losing, it didn't feel as sexy.
Well,
so Magic was like, I'm going to shake on y'all because I'm known.
It had to be deeper than that. It had to be.
It may be. Who knows?
Because, you know what I'm saying? I mean... It had to be deeper than that. I know they had problems with, you know what I'm saying, with wanting the coaches out. I'm not sure what Magic Johnson's relationship with Jeannie Buss had deteriorated to. You know what I'm saying? I'm not Stephen A., so I don't want to do all the research on this shit.
This is all speculation.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just an old sidewalk cat. To me, it just looked like shit was going south in the organization as far as decision-making-wise and building the pieces together. And LeBron was like, you know what? I'm not finna carry y'all niggas. And Magic was like, hey, man, I'm trying to get this shit to work, but you know what I'm saying? It ain't working right now.
Matt, what you got on Magic?
He joined as an exec, as the president or whatever, in February 2017.
Yeah, they weren't winning.
right. What was that, 2 years ago?
Yeah, you know. They wasn't in the playoffs too.
They
wasn't
in the playoffs, but they ain't had LeBron either. But so he was probably over there trying to make it happen.
At the same time, Magic went to the World Series with the Dodgers, man. He's trying to stay winning. I don't think it's about the wins. I think it's about the organization and the work associated with it and dealing with people when everybody not rolling on the same page. And I think the fallout from the Anthony Davis thing probably had people in the background talking shit.
Right.
And he probably was like, man, y'all ain't finna be talking shit about me, man. I can go on and live my life doing what I'm doing. I'm winning the rest of my life. So y'all ain't finna come in here treat me like I'm a loser. I'm Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I beat the AIDS. I won the World Series.
That's number one.
You know what I'm saying? I got championships.
That's number
one. You know what I'm saying? I beat Larry Bird. You know what I'm saying? Get the fuck out of here. You ain't finna be doing me any old kind
of
way. You know what I'm saying? Deuces. You seen that? All right, send that clip to Genie and I'm out. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit. What else is going on, man?
Did you happen to catch the Nipsey Hussle funeral?
I totally missed it. Yeah, I missed the whole shit. I saw a couple clips. I saw the Lauren London speech. I saw a clip of the Snoop thing. I haven't went back to watch the whole Snoop thing.
Snoop was good.
I heard Snoop was good. I heard his brother was good.
I was working when that shit was happening, when his brother was on and when Lauren came on. I read all the quotes as it was going on as we was working. But we ended up having a break and I watched Snoop, which was good. Right. But the most impressive thing about the whole fucking situation.
What was the most impressive?
During the 25-mile victory lap that the city of Los Angeles allowed, you know what I'm saying? It was weird because I was watching a stream from a L.A. news service.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? In the helicopter following the whole procession.
Yeah. Where'd it go? What was it, 25 miles? From where to where?
You know what I'm saying? It was like from Staples Center through Watts through, you know what I'm saying, Inglewood.
Okay.
All the way through to where he was from and then to the funeral home.
Okay.
So that shit was about, that was about out there about 5.5 hours holding up traffic.
Fucking
up. You know what I'm saying? First of all, that's a feat in itself.
Yeah.
They let you just roll through this bitch for 5 hours holding up traffic. But the most craziest part was that the newscast, this was the most respectful a newscast has been to ghetto America in ever.
Yeah.
They treated us with the same respect that they would treat, you know what I'm saying?
School shooter?
No. Like, just, you know what I'm saying, anybody who's mourning or—
Ronald Reagan.
You know what I'm saying? Anybody, like, they coming through. It's like the crowds are growing, but everybody is patient. And everyone is just here to show their respects.
Right.
And even when the shit got, when the shit started to be a stampede at the Marathon store, they were like, you know, things got pretty scary for a second, but the LAPD really pulled it back together, and everybody seems to be very respectful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what the fuck kind of universe are we in right now?
You've been good.
So they giving it the proper respect, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And it's a lot of stuff they could have been talking about, like the dirt bike cats that just rolled up and bum rushed the shit, just showed up. They could have talked about
it. They pulled up on the hearses?
It was cats in.
Motherfuckers is exuberant.
Listen, it was low riders that jumped in front of the hearse. It was like, you know what I'm saying? They was going to get on that helicopter feed.
Yeah.
They had motorcycles, dirt bikes, low riders. Yeah. Like cats just joined the shit out the blue. And so it was
they cutting the hearse off, though?
They ain't cut it off, but they hit the corner before the curse, and then they there. I think someone was just waiting for the shit to show up, and then they just pulled off in front of it.
Right.
So they just treating the shit with mad respect.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The shit got real tense. They crowding the hearse. It's a lot of shit you could have been saying, like, oh my God, like, you need some crowd control here. But nah, they were like, you know, people are really excited to get a picture, to put their hands on the hearse, to throw flowers. It seemed like somebody said, don't say nothing negative.
Right.
Now, I'm watching it. They get by the store, right? I'm seeing cats standing on top of cars, right?
On top of cop cars.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So at first I thought it was just a car.
Unprecedented.
Then I look. The first thing I saw was the SUV. Uh-huh. It's like a cop SUV.
Right.
And they stand on top of it. I'm like, maybe it's a out of commission one, but it still had the 911 cars protecting itself. I'm like, wait a minute. They letting these cats just stand on top of the police cars with no incident.
Tag rip nip on one of them.
So then they get to the next one, and it says nip is in paradise. Spray painted on the police car.
Yeah.
They standing on top of it.
Yeah.
I took a snapshot of it up with my phone.
Right.
Julia Bevy posted the picture.
Got the L. She got the picture. Photo,
So I'm like, yo, That picture is iconic, not just because it's
so
like, fuck the police and they stand on the car and they tag the car. That's not it. The thing is that they allowed that shit without incident. Mm-hmm. They ain't even mention it.
Right.
Nobody even tried to get them people off that car.
Right.
And they treated the mourners in South Central like the rioters after the Super Bowl in Philly or any Philly sports.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Riot.
Right.
All of the sports riot across America that happens.
They let it rock.
In right America where they burn cars and shit and they let it go. They treated South Central with that same respect, and I never seen that before.
Yeah.
That's unprecedented.
It was definitely unprecedented. I do think maybe it was some type of mandate, or it was like, I feel like it might even not even be a mandate. I would like to feel like it was just the vibe, right? It feels like the death of Nipsey has like really brought out the best in a lot of motherfuckers. Like, for real.
Right.
Like, this is a phenomenon that we haven't, this is, culturally, we haven't seen this in a while. I mean, it's been a bunch, but like, I feel like this like communal healing that's going on through social media, through like conversations, you know what I mean? Like, people really like, it's permeated like way deeper than just another rapper slain. You know what I'm saying? Like, this shit is like, this is part of the zeitgeist now.
Right.
This is like, we, you know, we treating him like Bob Marley, like, you know what I mean?
Right,
like a mystic spirit type shit. Like, you know, the only person I saw, and I didn't even give it no real attention, I saw the little clip of Laura Ingraham from Fox News laughing or whatever. But that's her lane now.
That's her shtick.
And she kind of look corny because she's the only.
She's the only one.
It looks silly. It looks like
out of touch.
Yeah, so.
You know what I mean? But I thought that was impressive.
She was great.
I thought the LAPD, you know what I'm saying, had impressive restraint and letting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it could have went real south real fast. Because if they would have took them off the car, then it could have got real bad.
Well, and that's probably what it was, too, because cats is grieving.
But that don't got nothing to do with the news people. The news people usually just say what they incite.
I smell marijuana.
Yeah, this is a lot of marijuana smell out here.
Right.
And 40 ounces and gangbangers. But nah, they treated the gangbangers with the same respect that they would treat any mourner.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Crip.
Mr.
and Mrs. Crip.
I was like, y'all need to keep this same energy next week. And that same energy at the next Black Lives Matter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you could be peacefully protesting about some social injustice and they come fucking with the tear gas and the, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So, how old were the anchors?
It was regular fucking channel NBC News.
Regular age anchors?
Yeah, it was
not
like,
no hip
I'm
anchors.
Talking about the ones in the studio, the ones on the street, the ones in the helicopter.
Right.
Everybody was.
Any black?
No. It was just all like, yes, and the mourners are like, what? They're like, you got gangster Crips out here.
Yeah. That's dope. That's dope. That's
like,
cool.
It's like, these are gang bangers out here with the flags throwing signs everywhere.
And
they roll,
and
they throwing
sounds
signs.
Disappointed. You're
no,
like,
I'm not disappointed.
What the fuck?
No, I'm not disappointed. I'm surprised that they treated us with the same respect that they treat everybody else. That's
a fucking
shame. That's a damn shame that never seen that shit.
It's a shame.
It's easy
that's
to fucking
shame, man.
It's easy to just just throw the shit to the curb and be like, this is some bullshit. Right. These crowds are out here. This fucking procession.
Traffic is terrible.
Procession is moving too slow. Who the fuck gave them the permit to ride around for 5 hours? I don't even know how the helicopter had that much gas.
Nipsey got the intersection named after him and all of that.
Before, he wasn't even in the ground. He had the shit named after him. Like, this shit is on a fast track. This the type of shit, you know what I'm saying, that you don't see.
Yeah, man.
But
regular people, don't compare your funeral to Nipsey.
Just
live your life.
Listen,
but
you don't think Snoop was comparing his future
funeral? I'm sure I saw that. The one clip I saw, he was like, he is me. I saw that one part.
You like, wait a minute.
That sound like Future.
But he the only, but Snoop the only one that could probably say that.
No, Snoop is, I don't want to get super morbid, but Snoop is like the barometer of probably how much love you, like, I feel like Snoop is like hip-hop Mickey Mouse.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if everybody knows Snoop.
Yeah. So if anybody gonna make that comparison, it could be Snoop.
Right.
Because he's from the West.
Right.
The dude walked, he had all the Snoop mannerism with the long hair. You know what I'm saying? So he could make that. But speaking of Future.
Go ahead.
You see Ciara stunting on him this morning?
Nah, I don't really.
Russell Wilson just signed
something crazy, right?
Yeah, he's gonna be the highest paid player in the NFL.
Wow.
This year. This year he got the biggest number.
What is it? What's the number?
$140 million over 4 years or something like that.
Wow.
And so they announced, because
they never win. They never won the.
He won the Super Bowl, yeah.
They did win the Super Bowl.
He could have won twice, but they didn't end it
beast off.
Mode.
Right, okay, fair enough.
But he gave the Seahawks, you know, a date to get his contract together.
Oh, hard,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so, you know, the time had came and everybody thought it was a wrap. But, you know, they was negotiating the shit. And then it went through last night in the middle of the night. And so after it went through, I guess his agent called, it went through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he went live or went whatever.
Yeah.
Him and Ciara in the bed together.
Uh-oh.
Talking about, you know what I'm saying, thank you everybody for your support, but just want y'all to know that, you know what I'm saying, everything is signed, we good. Then she like, go Hawks. You know what I'm saying? It was like, hey, now that's Seahawks. Now put the C on the Hawks.
Right.
This ain't Atlanta. Right. But they announced the shit, they in the bed together. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they, you know what I mean, all coupled up.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Sensual lighting.
Just, you know what I'm saying? Looking like post
mad rich.
Post coitus.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
You know
rich sex.
And then, you know what I mean? Just throw it out there. Stunning on them all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Poor Future.
Oh, I thought she said something
slick.
Nah,
she ain't saying nothing
slick.
But it's just enough to just do it.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, that's what y'all gonna do,
And he bought her Masters a while back, too. You heard about that shit? Yeah, he bought her Masters.
From who?
From Jive, I believe. So she got that money, you know.
Oh, Russell bought Ciara's Masters?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And he bought Future's Masters. No, I'm fucking with
that. I thought you meant Future bought Ciara's Masters.
No, Russell bought Ciara's Masters, for what I understand. So that's fly, too.
That's
so they both caked up.
They all,
they ain't
it's
even thinking about
game, man.
Instagram no more.
They think about it because they posted to it.
Yeah, I guess
they making announcements to it, doing, you know what I'm saying, in-bed press releases.
In-bed press. That's where you don't give a fuck.
In-bed press conference.
That is when that wire went through.
Hey, y'all, you know what I'm saying? Y'all just want y'all to know, you know what I'm saying? We done did this shit, you know what I'm saying?
And
he knew that shit was the biggest contract in the league, so he feeling real good. He like, shit. Y'all see me.
Really? So, is Russell Wilson that good?
I don't know. I've been boycotting
the
NFL.
I don't know. I'm asking the question. I don't know. You say
I've been boycotting.
Oh, okay. Right. True indeed. Oh, man. What else is going on, man? We could get out of here, but I'm trying to think if there's anything else to say. Just so cats don't, you know, I'm looking crazy. I did this without my phone because I'm trying to be mindful. You know, everybody's about mindfulness.
Mindfulness.
Well, it wasn't really all the way mindfulness. It was forgetfulness. I left my phone in the whip. Then I went downstairs and I realized I left my keys upstairs. And I said, I'm not taking another fucking journey.
Right.
Let me see if I could be mindful.
No doubt.
I don't need no distraction.
No doubt.
And we did that.
We did that.
We did it, man. What else? Anything quick
that's
shit in and out?
That's it. I want to...
Say what's up to the people. Tell the people you know you're
going to
be at.
I'm going to be in Brooklyn. I'm gonna be local.
Oh, shit.
Shout out to my daughter. It's her birthday today.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? Turning 11.
Big.
Shout out to the good people in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Goldie Gold, who put me with some people. Chilio, who came out, support. Ash, who set up some things. Catch me on the gram at Mr. Muhammad. And on the Twitter at Mr. Muhammad. And shit, that's that.
That's what it is. What am I doing? I'm going to be at the Cobra Club on the 21st. I'm somewhere else too. I just got the website redone, so I'm putting dates.
Oh
up
shit!
Now.
New website alert.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Out here with the propaganda.
We out here with the propaganda. We getting our machine right.
Rare it up.
Want to give a rest in peace shout out to Mrs. Rice. She's like my grandmother's. One of my grandmother's very good friends. They were close for like the last 45 years. Yeah, they lived in all the same building. She passed today, but she turned 100 on the 6th.
Oh, she did that.
So she definitely lived it. She was great, great people. Amazing sweet potato pie.
Word
you
up.
Know what I mean?
Miss Rice?
Miss Rice. So shout out to Miss Rice.
That's what, Brownsville?
Brownsville, yeah, absolutely.
Shout out Miss Rice, Brownsville. Never there ran, never will.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yes, sir.
We out.
And the main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.